Now, making more money and spending less, those are two common financial New Year's resolutions. However, according to the University of Scranton, 92% of people who set New Year's goals, 92% never actually achieve them. So here to give us some tips on ways to improve your chances of achieving your goals is Mark Ting, our guide to personal finance and a partner with Foundation Wealth. Hello there, Mark. Happy
Hello.
New Year.
Happy New Year.
So when you're saying setting New Year's goals, does that include exercise and diet and things, or are these financial goals specifically when we say 92%?
Well, actually, a lot of these tips will go for both. It's basically setting goals, going through the plan. So, yeah, often you can translate these right to fitness.
Well, 92% failure rate, I mean, that isn't very encouraging. What are we all doing wrong?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty easy to figure out what we're doing wrong. We get motivated, we get hyped up, and then we just don't follow through with it. So I like to look at what the successful 8% are doing differently. So that's where I'm going to start. And what they're doing is they're setting specific and challenging goals. So the more specific and more challenging your goals are, the greater your motivation is towards hitting them. So an example might be you might have $5,000 worth of credit card debt and you want to get rid of it by the end of the year. So this goal is challenging. It's not easy to do, but it lacks specifics. It lacks details. So what the details I'm kind of looking for is you need to show a plan, like a timeline, and all the steps you're going to take to accomplish your goal. So it's important to keep all this stuff written down. You want to use that initial sort of plan as a guide, and while you're doing it, you want to diligently track all your progress.
All right, so let's use that example that you just mentioned. Eliminate $5,000 of your credit card debt. What steps can people take to achieve that?
So the key of being financially healthy, like the big, you know, wow moment type thing is, you know, you need to spend within your means. Like any financial advisor will tell you this, but this is hard anyways. It's hard to do this anyways. And it's even more of a struggle and more challenging if you're trying to do this while paying down debt. Uh-huh. So in most cases, to be successful, you're going to do exactly what a lot of people want to do, is make more money and spend less. So we'll start with spending less. So to spend less, you really need to know where to start, and you got to track your spending habits and then decide where cuts need to be made. So we're often finding that people are surprised on how much they spend on things like car payments, grooming, and entertaining. So I remember going back a couple of years, I went through this exercise, and the couple of ways that I spent less was to get rid of my cable and phone package. I moved to a cheaper internet company, and by doing so, I saved about $80 a month. Another thing that I did was originally we had two cars. We sort of looked at how we were using them, and we decided, okay, we can actually live with one car. And that saved me about $150 to $200 a month, and that's without a car payment. So had we had a car payment on top of that, you can add an extra $300 to $500. So if I did have that goal of eliminating $5,000 worth of credit card debt, had I just taken those two steps, I would be basically halfway there.
I see. Well, it sounds like it's best maybe to set smaller monthly goals in order to accomplish the bigger annual goal. Is that how it works?
Yeah, pretty much. We saw that successful people track their progress by setting a series of smaller goals. So, and again, this is where the timeline comes in. So if I'm going to start, I would doing that budget and trying to figure out what to cut, that I'd put that for like week one. And then I'd say, okay, on week one, I'm going to, in my case, I cut down my cable bill, and I would go through with that. And then I see what I can do the next week and the next week. And then you track those progress. You basically want to make sure that you're motivated. You continue to stay motivated. And that's how you track things. So if you continue to spend less and you continue to be motivated, what's going to happen is resolutions are very temporary. Like they fizzle out. But as you do this and you track your progress, it becomes more of a permanent lifestyle change, and you'll just continue on with these very good habits, and they'll serve you well.
I see. So when you talk about reducing the family budget, how far do people, you know, how far should people take it?
Right. Should they be eating crackers and tunas and ramen?
Yeah. No.
Definitely not. So one of the biggest misconceptions in personal finance is that saving for the future, which to me also includes paying off debt, often requires sacrifice today, and that lessens people's enjoyment of their life. And I'm here to say that, and it's not just me, it's all the studies, it's actually the opposite. So all the data tells us, has shown us, that people who live within their means are happier and a lot less stressed. So the cuts that I'm suggesting, they're not going to be dramatically affecting your lifestyle or your quality of life. Like when I look back at my family, when we cut cable and got rid of the car, it it took some time to get used to, but we adapted and we've never looked back since. So I still highly recommend that people socialize, buy nutritious food, live in appropriate housing. However, you know, I can't stress this enough. I mean, you still need to live within your means. And if that means you have to make a series of small changes that won't dramatically disrupt your lifestyle, things like maybe brewing your coffee at home instead of going to Starbucks. When you go out with friends, you might want to skip the appetizers or desserts or limit your drink orders. Same goes for movies. You know, maybe skip the 3D option and avoid the overpriced popcorn and drinks. All these little things add up. And then if you've got a goal towards, it's going to make you feel very empowered when you actually reach those goals.
It's so difficult to resist the popcorn. I've thought about things like, and it's almost as much as the movie ticket itself, just getting a bag of popcorn.
I can't tell you the last time I bought a bag of popcorn.
I just love sitting there with the hot buttered popcorn. I just love it.
Sneak it in.
I know, but it's got to be warm. It's got to be fresh popped.
Keep it under your jacket. No. There's wings.
I'm not going to. It does take a lot of discipline, though, when there's a lot of peer pressure to go out, spend some money, order an extra round. So I guess on a psychological level, and I love this when you put on your psychologist hat, because you often do that when we have these kinds of conversations. So how do you resist the pressure?
I mean, the pressure is real, and it comes from all different directions. It kind of reminds me of that Oscar Wilde quote. It says, what did he say? He said, I can risk anything except for temptation.
Right.
So true, right? So the tip here is actually to be transparent with your peers. So when they're asking you to do things that isn't in your budget, simply say, I can't afford this. And you might get a strange look at first, but once you explain that, you know, there's a logic behind this, that you got a plan and what you're trying to do, that you're trying to get out of debt by the end of the year, your peers will actually be very impressed with all that discipline. And rather than judge you, which a lot of us fear, they're actually going to be encouraging you. So David Chilton, he's the author of The Walter Barber. He talks about this quite a bit, and he talks about this technique being extremely liberating, that people who use it often feel they no longer have that pressure, that sort of keep up with the Joneses type pressure, and they don't avoid socializing. They don't overspend during Christmas. They don't skip out on their annual vacations. They still do everything that brings them joy. They just do it in a less expensive way.
Uh-huh. Okay, we talk about spending less. Before I let you go, we have to talk about making more money. How do we do that?
Yeah, this is my favorite part. I mean, if you're young, now's the time to do something big. You have the energy to put in extra hours to make more money. You could start a side business, which can be done on the cheap. You can freelance your skills, which could be translation, painting, cleaning up, anything with the sharing economy. Older people, they have the same opportunities, but you have other options. You could rent out spare rooms, bring in homestays. Have your finances investments looked over for tax efficiency? That's a big one. People spend way or pay too much in tax. There's lots of ways to bring in extra money. And I'd rather do that than cut the budget, but a little bit of both is good.
A little bit of balance.
Yes.
Mark, thank you. I think you've helped set us up for the new year. We look forward to many more conversations like this throughout 2020.
Thank you.
That is Mark Ting. He is our guide to personal finance and a partner at Foundation Wealth.